Good morning to everyone. We have a lot of visitors with us this morning, as Corey's already pointed out. We'd like to say that you're our honored guest, and we invite you back on any occasion that you might have to be out with us. We sure are appreciative of you being here, and your presence is an encouragement to all that are here, and we just like to get to know you better and like to get better acquainted with you. And if it be possible, right after services, maybe some that I haven't got to meet, I would like to meet you. And I know that everyone here feels the same way, and we'd like to just extend you the warmest welcome possible here at the Providence Church of Christ. I put up on the board there this morning just a thought for while we were singing the songs and having our prayer that we might think about, and that is the ideal that Christ is risen. It was pointed out in the song that Chris led there that he has risen, and that's a reason for us to rejoice in the fact that we serve a risen Savior, one that is alive, one that is well, and one that is instructing us on how we ought to live through His gospel. And again, that's just a great consolation and comfort to all that are present. And we need to be reminded of the fact that He was risen. And you and I, too, will be raised someday. If we're not alive walking upon this earth when the Lord comes back, we will be risen. We'll be resurrected just like that Christ was, and we'll stand before Him in the judgment day and give an account for our lives here upon this earth. And we again, need to be reminded of that from time to time. I'd like to say sometimes I fail to recognize and appreciate all those who participate in the worship service as far as the song leaders and those who make announcements, and Jeremy on teaching the Bible class, which I get so much out of those classes, and Brother Pat, his prayers are so encouraging and so uplifting, and the sincerity and the humbleness of those prayers are just so beneficial, and it's just the whole worship service is so beneficial for all that are present. And I just like to say that those things don't go unnoticed, and we appreciate that so very, very much, the effort that is put into that, even the making of the schedule that takes a lot of time and forethought to line out the organization of the worship services. I'm so appreciative of that and so grateful for that. The actual title of our lesson this morning is The Awesome Power of Encouragement. Sometimes I think we fail to realize as Christians how much ability that we have as Christians to encourage other people to do God's will. And it's something that we need to be reminded of, again, because it isn't found in the gospel, the importance of encouragement, the importance of trying to encourage others to do God's will and good works. And sometimes I think we get so self-absorbed and we've got so much going on in our own lives that we're dealing with and we're trying to juggle that we overlook what somebody else might be dealing with or what they might be wrestling with in their lives. And therefore, we're not really focused on them. We're focused on ourselves. And therefore, a lot of times things go unnoticed and people don't get the encouragement maybe that they need. And it is a proven fact, as we're going to see, that everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. There's nobody that is excluded from this ideal. From time to time, there's things that bear down on us in life that get us almost to the point of just throwing up our hands and wanting to quit. And in those times, if somebody didn't come along and give us a word of encouragement, if somebody didn't come along and say something that would encourage us to keep on keeping on, we might just throw in the towel and quit. And as you think about your life over the last year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and you think about things that maybe really were bearing down on you, causing you to become discouraged, I bet you can think of someone that came to you and put their hand on your shoulder or patted you on the back and said, keep on keeping on. Keep on doing the good things that you're doing. And those people are people that also stand out in our lives. As me and Brenda was talking the other day, a lot of people that pass from this life, it seems like that not long after they're gone, they're forgotten. But those people that were always encouragers, those people that were always positive, that were trying to always lift you up in the spirit, those people seem to linger with you. They seem to stand out. And there's a lot of situations where we can be encouraging, not just in word, but in our actions. A lot of times we don't have to say a word. We just have to be there. We just have to be presence. You know, we went down and had to a viewing for a funeral there Wednesday evening. And there wasn't anything that I could say to take away the pain, but I knew that my presence there was appreciated because so many told me not to pat myself on the back. But I went away encouraged because of the things that were said to me. And oftentimes when we go to do things that encourage other people, we'll find that we come away more encouraged maybe than the encouragement that we were trying to lend. I think of another example. One time when I was over visiting Gatliff at the nursing home, and they brought his food in, and Gatliff said, I'm going to say a word of prayer for the food. And he made mention of the fact that he was thankful for those that were present at his bedside. We were there trying to encourage Gatliff, and we went away encouraged by his simple prayer and his simple notification of the fact that we were there to be with him and to talk with him and to visit with him. And I know many of you could think of many examples. Last Sunday afternoon, we went down to the nursing home at Broadhead and had a short service to try to encourage those people down there. And one of the things that really stood out in my mind as I was there is some of the young people that were present that took time out of their busy schedule. Dustin was there, and he kind of stepped up and done some Bible reading on a short notice. And Kayla was there, and Bobby was there, and Selena was there. And, you know, I was appreciative of everyone that was there to try to encourage those people, but those young people really stood out in my mind that they were doing God's work at that young age. They were down there concerned about those people who, you know, sometimes become discouraged and become downtrodden, and they were there on their behalf trying to encourage them. Sometimes, again, we just don't realize how much impact that we can have with God working through us to be an encouragement to other people. If you look up the definition of encouragement, it is the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. Persuasion to do or to continue something. The act of trying to stimulate the development of an activity, state, or belief. And again, we all have the ability within us to be an encourager, to encourage other people. This morning, I'm just going to look at three basic points about encouragement that I think will be beneficial for everyone present. God is the original encourager. Christians are commanded to encourage. It's not optional for you to say, I'm not going to be an encourager. I'm going to be a stick in the mud, and I'm not going to pay any attention to what anybody else is doing or what's going on in anybody else's life. I'm never going to have anything encouraging to say. That's not an option. God commands us to be an encourager. God commands us to be someone who is encouraging to other Christians. That's part of our responsibility as Christians. We don't have the option just to say, I'm not going to get involved in that. I don't have time. My schedule's too busy. And also, the third one is encouragement provokes good works and growth. And we've talked some about good works and the purpose of good works. And that's what encouragement does. It will encourage people to do the things that need to be done within the Lord's church and within His body. It's also a proven fact that we all need to be encouraged in life. The Greek word for encourage is parakaleia, and it's used 105 times in the New Testament. This shows how important it is to God, and it should be just as important to us. God is the original encourager, comforter, and counselor, as He's referred to in the Scriptures. It is by His loving mercy that we exist and have salvation from our sins. And again, if we let His will work through us, if we're being guided by His Spirit, which we're supposed to be as Christians, then we're going to be a person that's constantly encouraging other people to do good works. And whenever good works are happening, good things are happening, and God in heaven is glorified, you can mark it down. And people will grow, and people will be strengthened, and people will be as God would have them to be. To back up to what I just stated there, John 14 and verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and you shall be, and shall be in you." And verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." And again, that was told unto us that God was going to send His Spirit, that we would have a Comforter. We as Christians know what that is. We know what that means. If you read over in the Gospel of John, to have that Comforter, that Spirit dwelling within us, that we don't have to fear death, which is the worst thing that can happen to us in this life, is death. We don't have to fear that because we're going to a better place when this life is over. And we can be an encouragement, a source of encouragement. We can be someone who can build other people up and give them that same hope and maybe cause them to become a Christian if we will but let God's Spirit work within us. And as I've said many times before, we're the advocates here upon this earth for our Heavenly Father. We're the ones that God uses to take His Word, His will, and His message to the world. And oftentimes we may be the only contact that they have with God. It's a great big responsibility, but it's been laid upon us to do it as Christians. So Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Christians are to be Christ-like. We must have a Christ-like nature, which means we must be encouragers. If we are not, then we need to start asking ourselves why. Ask yourself the question, why am I not an encourager? And I have met people that would be more of a person that would discourage you than they would be an encourager. And it's just sad that sometimes people, I noticed in Pat's prayer, he said there, we need to remember and count all the blessings that we've been blessed with already up to this stage in our lives. Sometimes people can't see that. They don't look back. They don't reflect on the fact that we've had a lot of good things happen. Maybe health problems come your way. Maybe financial problems come your way. And automatically you want to resort to being discouraged. You want to be downtrodden. And I understand we will be in this life. That's the nature of this life. But what I'm saying is if we're looking back and saying, man, I've had a lot of good things in life too. I've had a lot of blessings. I've had a lot of things that God has blessed me with. And I need to be thankful for them, and I need to count those as well as the bad things that I have to deal with. Then we can be, again, an encouraging person. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Where do we get our strength at as Christians? It's through Jesus Christ. Whenever we're relying upon ourselves to be something that we're not, and we don't realize that we must rely upon Jesus Christ, we're going to fail. That's just the way that it is. I've been guilty of it in past times, and we all are from time to time. We have to put our confidence in Jesus Christ and let Him live through us and let people be able to see that He's living through us and take on that Christ-like nature. That's what we have to do as Christians. That's what the word Christian means, is to be Christ-like. If we're making that good profession that we are a Christian, then we better step up to the plate. Also, we should look at encouragement as a gift from God. We have it in us, the ability to encourage or discourage others with our speech and with our actions. Do you ever think of it as being a gift from God that you can encourage somebody to do a good work? That you can encourage someone to become a Christian, a child of God, and to be a servant of His and to glorify His name? You have the ability within yourself to do that. Do we ask ourselves, am I doing that? Am I being an encourager to those I come in contact with? Can they see Christ living through me? Can they see His will coming out of me? Can they see that I am striving to do His will and His works, that I might be an encouragement to them? You know, we're going to look at, just for a moment here, some times when we may become discouraged. And there are those times, as I've already pointed out. Life will bear down on you sometimes so hard that you become discouraged. It might be something to do with your church family. It might be something to do with your physical family. It might be something to do with work. There's just so many things that bear down on us. It might be a bunch of things all at one time that really almost get us down to the point of throwing in the towel. When life is tiring, when you are struggling with your sin, when family members aren't saved, when bills aren't paid, when school is difficult, when work is exhausting, when good friends leave us, when your health is failing, when your loved ones are hurt, these are all times in our lives when we could become very, very discouraged. Because we are in the flesh, and these things affect us. We have to think about them. They affect us mentally. They can bear down on us. You know, it was mentioned this morning about the fellow that times things discouraged him so bad that he took his own life. What a conundrum. You know, you think about a fellow like John Paget, who is striving, clinging, trying to cling to life. He's 57 or 8 years old, got kids and grandkids, and such a good man. He's clinging to life, wanting life so bad. And then a fellow that's got life would become so discouraged that he would take his own life. That's hard to imagine that things could get that bad, but it does. And we all have known people who have become so discouraged that they have contemplated suicide, taking their own physical life. It's such a sad, sad situation. Discouragement is a thief. And if you knew a thief was coming to your house tonight, just like the Gospels talks about, if we knew when a thief was coming, we'd make preparation for it. I know that Chris would. He's experienced a lot of it down there where he lives, and he's expressed that with us some from here teaching classes and also just on a personal basis. You know, when you think about stopping a thief, we would do almost anything to stop a thief. And sometimes it ain't what they're taking is of such a great value. It's not that it's such a great value that it's going to send us into financial despair. It's the principle of the thing, and people say that often. It's the principle of the thing. I'm out working and I'm trying to have something for myself and for my family and so that I can return a portion to the Lord. And while I'm gone, somebody comes in and takes it. Boy, our blood will get to boiling on it because we want to stop that sort of thing. We want to stop that activity. Well, there's a more of a danger of a thief that is one of discouragement than there will ever be of one who might come in and take a few physical possessions. And here's the things that they steal. It steals your vitality. It steals your zeal. It steals your joy. It steals your peace. It steals your contentment. It steals your soul. What are you doing to stop discouragement, not only with yourself, but with those that you come in contact with? Again, just look at it like it's a thief, and these are things that are pleasurable for us and good for us and pleasing in the sight of God, and we need to try to stop them from happening. We need to try to stop discouragement. We need to try to stop discouragement with ourselves first and foremost, and then we need to try to stop discouragement in those that we come in contact with and also our brothers and sisters in Christ. And discouragement will cause a lot of problems. And if discouragement dwells long with you, its friends will soon join. And you see the little guy there on the end, that's you, and then it says fatigue, hopelessness, despair, self-pity, depression, doubt, and bitterness. You know, oftentimes people become discouraged on the onset, and the next thing you know, they're actually bitter. They're lashing out towards someone else because they themselves have become discouraged. And again, we need to recognize the fact that this is a dangerous situation. It's dangerous for us as Christians to become discouraged, to be ready to throw in the towel. And again, as you reflect on your life, think of the times that you were really, really, really discouraged in your Christian walk. Let's talk about that for a moment. Times when you were at the point that you were almost like, I just don't know if I can do it, Lord. I don't know if I can walk, this path that I've started down. And someone comes along and they say, you know, you need to keep on trying. You need to keep on serving the Lord. You need to keep on keeping on. And it brings you out of it. And I can think of many times in my life when I was really discouraged. And it always comes back to me when I start getting a little discouraged about something that's going on in my life, about those people who stepped up and more or less saved me from being discouraged, more or less saved me from quitting, more or less saved me from throwing in the towel because of their encouragement and the fact that they were there. And again, we don't need to take that lightly as Christians, that we have the ability to keep people from becoming discouraged in their Christian walk. We have the ability to help people. And again, those cards that we send out from here to those who have deaths in the family and those who have sickness and illnesses, those are great encouragers. I've seen it so much, and I delivered those two cards that we signed last week, and those people were so encouraged by that, and again, they wanted you all to know that. Those are things that are encouragements to other people, and we need to recognize that as being so. Another kind of a definition of the word discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, distrust of the future, and what that results in is we're just blinded. Have you ever seen a Christian that was as strong of a Christian that you could ever ask for anybody to be in their Christian walk? And because of something that they're wrestling with, something that they're dealing with in their life, they almost just become paralyzed. It's like they're afraid to move. They're afraid to do anything because of maybe something that someone else has said or something that's happened in their life. And they just become paralyzed. It's like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit still. It's almost like they've been blinded and they can't see anything positive. That happens sometimes, don't it? How sad that is. Again, discouragement is an ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday, as I mentioned that Pat so readily brought out in his prayer, an indifference of the opportunities of the day, and security regarding strength for tomorrow. You know, when we lose that optimism about what it is that we're trying to do today, we're not going to have much of a better outlook on the future. And we have to have some security about our soul salvation, and we have to have some optimism about tomorrow and about the young people in this congregation and what a great blessing that they are, as was pointed out too in the prayer. We're so thankful for them. For in them lies the future of the Lord's church. In them lies the future of Christianity. they'll determine. And we've got the awesome responsibility of being an encouragement to them as well. Also, discouragement is an unawareness of the presence of God, unconcern for the needs of our fellow man, unbelief in the promise of His Word. There's a lot of people that we encounter in the world that these all are applicable to them. They don't really believe that there's a God. They don't really believe in the promise of His Word, that there's an eternal abode waiting for those who are faithful unto Him. And that is far better than anything we'll ever know in this life. And they really don't have any consideration for their fellow man. You know, there's a lot of people that are self-centered. In our society, it seems to be becoming the worst problem that people are self-centered. They focus on their self. They don't look around and see someone who may be having problems that they might be able to help or encourage. They're so focused upon themselves. And they're wallowing in their self-misery and their self-problems, the problems that they have their self, to the point that they can't think about trying to encourage someone else. They can't think about being an encouragement or an uplifter to someone else. A good place where to start encouraging others, and over in 1 Thessalonians, is some scriptures that we need to support our lesson this morning, 5:11. It says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do." Hebrews 10:24-25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." You know, whenever we come together in assembly such as this morning, it is very encouraging and very uplifting to see such a number out this morning. It's very encouraging to everyone here that's present to see those who have interest in things of a spiritual nature. And that's what the Hebrew writer is saying there. Don't forget that your simple presence in a worship assembly is an encouragement to other people. When I went over to Vault Ridge and preached some years ago, there was a sister over there, Maureen Wilson, and she was, I'd say she was probably 90 years old at that time and very feeble. And she would come in, and I would tell her what an encouragement she was, just her presence there. And she said, "Well, I can't do much." I said, "You're here, aren't you?" I said, "There's a lot of young people that are not here, and you're here. And it takes great effort on your part to be here. That's a big encouragement, the fact that you're here." Vernon Price over at Hazeldale, he's becoming very feeble because of his age, because of the health problems that he has. But he'll come walking in, scooting his feet and with a cane, and he'll come in. And I think what an encouragement that is for somebody that has to put forth that much effort to come to the assembly so that they can worship God. What a big encouragement that is. So don't ever lose sight of the fact that you can always be an encourager. You don't have to be standing in the pulpit. You don't have to be a song leader. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be any of those things of a public nature, but you can be an encourager, one-on-one, as a personal encourager. And again, those people who visit the nursing homes. We were at the Cumberland Nursing Home and Rehab Center Friday evening visiting Brenda's aunt. And I thought about as how happy she was that we were there, and she'll be 89 here shortly, and how happy that she was. And I thought about in my early Christian walk what a encouragement she was to me. She always had the biggest smile, and she was always so positive and so upbeat. And anybody that done anything, she would pat you on the back and give you an encouragement. And then I thought, well, the tables have turned here now. You know, the situation has turned. But it was such a big encouragement. We took Aniston and Ansley. Of course, you know, when you take children like that to the nursing home, those elderly people, they just love to see young people. They're such a big encouragement to them. And she was just so happy for her presence. We didn't know that Kathy Lovelace was in the same facility, and we found that out Saturday. So Monday evening, we went back to the same facility and delivered that card that we signed. And also, we was encouraged by her because she said, "You know, I'm going to fight this cancer till the end, but if it's my time to go," she said, "I'm ready to go." And I thought, well, that's good to know. That's good to know that you've got that confidence and that comfort and that consolation. And again, we went to be encouragers, and we left encouraged. And oftentimes, we don't realize that, but when we go to encourage someone, we'll be the one that comes away blessed. We'll be the one that comes away built up and lifted up. Again, when you take focus off of yourself and put it on someone else, you're a long ways towards being what God would have you to be. And again, we live in a self-centered society for a large part. And we need to recognize the fact that Christians are supposed to be different when it comes to that. we should always be seeking what it is that we can do to help one another to grow spiritually, to build up, taking the focus off of self and putting the focus on others. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Whenever we have the urge to say something negative, and we're all guilty of that as well, we have the urge to be a discourager, what we probably need to do is just count to 10 and bite our tongue and say, what is it that I could do that would help this situation rather than just to add to fuel to the fire of being a discourager? What is it that I could do to maybe help this person become what God would have them to be rather than being a negative person, a condemning person, a person that wants to look down on someone else? What is it that I could do that would, what is it that I could say, or what would my actions reveal to someone else that might be beneficial, that might help build them up? You know, again, our purpose as Christians is to build others up, to help others to make it to heaven. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Again, we don't know how much time that we have upon this earth. Have you ever had a situation to where you could have visited someone, you could have encouraged someone, and you kept putting it off because of all the things that encumber us in this life, and you were doing this and you were doing that, and you were just too occupied. You had your family and you had your job and you had all this, and then the next thing you know, you get word that that person has now passed away. Well, that takes that off your shoulders, don't it? You don't have to go worry about going and encouraging them anymore. They're gone. Have you ever done that? And you realize that the time had run out. The time was no more for that person than the time for you to go encourage them to do the right thing or to become a Christian or just sit with them and talk with them, encourage them. That time was forever gone. It's kind of a sobering awakening, isn't it, when that happens? I've had it to happen to me many times. Maybe it was someone you wanted to talk about that you'd heard that had terminal illness, and you wanted to talk about them getting right with God so that they would be ready to stand before Him in the after while in judgment. And you didn't do it. It's a great big responsibility that you've shirked. And we sometimes are guilty of that. We only know that we've got today, and we don't even know that we'll see the end of this day. And the point I think the Hebrew writer is making, do what you need to do for the cause of Christianity when it comes to encouraging, comforting, and encouraging other people. Do it today. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate, and don't say there'll be another day, there'll be another time, there'll be another opportunity, because we have no guarantee of that. We must be willing to allow other Christians to help us to grow spiritually. And again, this is another problem that people have sometimes. When people come to try to encourage them, sometimes we feel like that it's a sign of weakness on our part. It's a sign that we don't have any strength if someone is trying to encourage us or lift us up. That is a carnal characteristic that is not a godly characteristic. And whenever somebody is trying to do good by trying to encourage us, we should be willing always and ready to accept that encouragement and be ready to tell them how grateful that we are for it. And that in turn will reciprocate and encourage them as well, just like the examples that I give you earlier. Sometimes when you go to be the encourager, you come away being the encouraged. And we have to be willing to recognize that and be willing to accept people's encouragement. Encouraging Christians can help motivate a whole congregation to do good works and to grow. And we recognize that. You know, you can think of people that you've encountered in your life that was that encouraging Christian, that person that always had something upbeat to say and was always positive and always tried to lift someone up. Never hear anything negative out of their mouth, never hear anything condemning, never hear anything that runs somebody else down or bites somebody in the back. I can think of a fellow, and many of you all know him, I know Ron Daly. I can think of him when I would encounter him when he was holding our meeting, or when I would come up here and he was holding a meeting, how enthusiastic he always was and how good he made you feel. And he'd say, "How you doing, brother?" He'd say, "It's good to see you. Good to see you." And I'd think about how encouraging he was. It was always like he made you feel like that he was glad to see you and that you was his brother in Christ and he was encouraged by your presence. You know, all of us can do that if we will just work at it. encouraging words that we might consider that we haven't. You work really hard. Your input is appreciated. I really believe you can do it. Thanks for your help. You're so helpful. I'm so glad you are here. You are trustworthy. It's okay to make mistakes. What do you think we should do? That showed a lot of courage, and thank you. There's many of those I'm sure that you've used in the past. But some of them maybe we need to be reminded of, that if we would just say them to someone and let people know that we care about what their thoughts are, what their input is on the situation, and we would like to have that, you know, again, that would be something that would be encouraging to them so that they could be made feel a part of something. Sometimes we kind of overlook that, and I think of an example. I'll probably get in tears with this one too. One time long ago, I started buying some little bottle calves, and it was kind of a project that Brooke and I was doing together. We'd come over in this area, Bentley, Durham, and different dairy farmers. Of course, there was a lot more dairy farms back then, and we were getting those bottle calves, and we'd started raising them. Well, I had some calves that I'd had for 2 years that were ready to sell, and I marketed them, and they didn't make any money. It was a bad situation. Well, I thought, why am I starting down this same path again? We had about 10 more bottle calves, and I was in the presence of some guys that I know might be interested in buying those, and I said something about I would like to just sell them because I didn't want to. I was discouraged with the Holstein heifer business, and I didn't want to start down that path again, and I just said, you know, I had this many calves, and I'd take X amount of dollars for them. And the next morning, that guy was standing at my house wanting to look at those calves, and whenever, as soon as he looked at them, he said, I'm just going to buy your calves. Well, about that time, Brooke came up and said, what's going on? And I done made the deal. She said, what's going on? And I said, well, honey, I said, I've sold this man these calves because we didn't make any money on the last ones. And she broke down and just started bawling. But those were my calves. I was helping with those calves. And it really hurt me that I didn't include her in that decision-making process about selling those calves. I guess I didn't realize that she was that attached to him, or that she was concerned about it, or that interested in it. And I thought it was all for me to make that decision. But she'd went with me to get them, and she'd help bottle feed them, and she was involved in the process. And there, I just excluded her out and done something that I thought I needed to do from a financial standpoint. I looked at the fellow and said, is there any amount of money that will buy the calves back, her standing there bawling? And he said, no, you can get her some more calves. That's how business works, isn't it? But I'll never forget that. That was a real learning lesson for me in life, that no matter how little they are, and no matter how disattached that you think that they are, they are attached, and they do need to be considered, and they do need to be asked, and they do need to be considered in the decision-making process whenever they're helping along with it. Well, if you bring that over to the church family, it's the same way. Sometimes people feel like that decisions are made and things are happening and things are going on, and they're just not made a part of it. They don't have a say in it, and they don't have any input into it, and they kind of feel left out. And that can be something just like with her that discouraged her, you know. So we need to recognize the fact that we have the responsibility to try to include our brothers and sisters in Christ. With all that said, we'd like to give you an opportunity this morning, if you've never become a child of God, to give your life to Christ, and He will become your comforter today. As He promises in His gospel, He's sent a comforter, and that is the Holy Spirit, and we have the advantage of that as Christians. And that's what we need to let shine and work through us, that we might gain others to Christ, that we might lead others to Christ, and that the borders of His kingdom might be enlarged, and that He would be glorified in heaven. If you're here this morning and you've heard the gospel preached enough that you understand, Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 10:10 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No, that's 10:17, I'm sorry. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's not a confession of your sins. It's a confession and an acknowledgement of the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then Acts 2:38, whenever Peter preached there, the question was asked, what must we do to be saved? And he said, to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Revelations 2:10 says, remaineth thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. If you're here and subject to heaven's invitation, anyway, we'd ask you to come as together we stand and as we sing.